I guess I misunderstood a little bit the topic. I thought he was telling me to teach, to talk to you about how to make characters out of your kids. And I thought, well, wow, that's a tough topic. Especially the knowing the kids, I think you're doing a great job. I know my kids are certainly characters, and my grandchildren. And I know as a parent, from time to time, you think, oh, what a character. But that's really not what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about developing character in our children. And, you know, I'm thinking a lot about what we were, the subject matter, and really our church as a whole. And I really, one of the reasons our family started coming here was because of the emphasis that Pastor Roberts and the church puts upon young people. And certainly one of the things that I appreciate about the ministry here and our pastor is the heart that he has for our children. I've told him more than once that he makes being a parent a lot easier because he reinforces, he has an obvious heart for our children, for young people. He challenges them. He preaches to them. I think there's a danger in that, however. As parents, we need to be careful that we don't try to turn over the raising of our children to our pastor, because we're ultimately going to be held responsible. Now, certainly our pastor, as our pastor, has responsibility, and I think he handles it very well. But I think we have to be careful that we don't abdicate, so to speak, our responsibility with our children to our pastor, because we ultimately, as I said, are going to stand in judgment for that, and we've got to be conscientious about raising our own children. And of course, part of that is bringing them to church here, and putting them under the preaching, and putting them under the teaching, and putting them under the pastoral leadership of a man like Pastor Roberts, and in a school like the school that the church has. I think obviously the character of the school, the quality of the school, is a great tool and a great help in the raising of our children. But we've got to understand that ultimately that is going to be our responsibility. I was thinking through just some of the great leaders in the Bible. And three examples. There are many examples in the Bible of great men who were leaders. But if you think about it, there are not a lot of examples in the Bible of great men who produced great children. You don't hear much of the children of Moses, for example. Moses was a great leader. You don't hear, other than Solomon, you don't hear much about the children of David. Solomon was a great, was given a great wisdom of God, yet his own character was such that if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, he looks back over his life and talks about what a failure it was. And you look at his children, and Rehoboam wasn't a great example, was he? But I think there are two Bible characters that really stand out with respect to God's choosing of them, because he had confidence in their children as well as in them, even though the children hadn't been born in one case. One of them, of course, is Abraham. In the 16th chapter of Genesis, God is about to, the Lord appears to Abraham with two angels. They're about to go destroy Sodom. And he makes the statement of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, regarding what he is going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, should I withhold this from Abraham? Seeing that I know him and that he'll raise his children after him. Now, Abraham was chosen to father a nation. So it was very important that Abraham raise his children according to the quality of care, the quality that would produce a great nation. The other one that was chosen, seemingly at least in part, and maybe in its entire in his entirely, was Noah. The Bible says that God chose Noah because his generations were perfect. And after the flood, he told Noah and his children to go populate the world. And I think that we see that, at least in those two individuals, that God chose them at least in part because of the quality of their children or what he... that he knew that they would raise their children according to a certain standard and according to a certain way. Again, I appreciate the emphasis that our church has and our school has on the memorization of Scripture. I think it's very important that our children memorize Scripture. I think it's just, it will always benefit them. I have spoken to my grandchildren a number of times, however, along these lines. It's wonderful that you're memorizing Scripture, but are you paying any attention to what you're memorizing? Is it getting any further than your head? My oldest grandson in South Carolina, Last time, when I was down, I took him out to lunch, and I have some concern about his salvation. I was quizzing him about it, and I told him, I said, you know, son, you're growing up in a great home. Your father loves the Lord. Your mother loves the Lord. They're serving the Lord. I said, but I don't want you to miss heaven by 18 inches. And he kind of looked at me, and he says, Papa, what do you mean? I said, that's approximately the amount of distance between your head and your heart. And I think we sometimes think that because we're getting it in their head, it's automatically going to go to their heart, but that just isn't true. And I think we have to work at getting it from the head to the heart. I think the church is doing a great job. The school is doing a great job of getting it in their head. But it's pretty obvious from the announcements tonight that some of it isn't making it to the heart. When you have to tell parents to tell their children to look at an adult in the eye when they talk to them, there's a problem somewhere. When we have to instruct our children, and mine could be guilty of this too, from time to time they could have been, when I have to instruct my children to say thank you, or good morning when somebody greets them, then something's missing. And you can memorize all the scriptures in the world, but if it doesn't begin to approach and affect the attitude, and if it, the way you affect the attitude is by affecting the heart. And I think as parents, we really, really have got to focus on reaching the heart of our children. That cannot be delegated. I've tried to teach my children who have children, get their hearts young and hold on tight. And if we don't get their heart, all the knowledge in the head's not going to do any good. And of course, you know, one way that we reach their heart is by demonstrating the fact that we love them. And one of the demonstrations of love is the fact that we value them enough to be determined to teach them and develop their character. And of course, that may very well mean discipline. Discipline is not a subject the world likes to talk about. But I like to point out that discipline is an act of love. That's the motivation behind proper discipline. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Proper discipline comes out of a heart of love, and our children need to understand that. In fact, I think one of the great destabilizers in our society, and it's very obvious we have a very unstable society, is the fact that we don't have discipline, and therefore children they don't feel cared for. I've put together a list of character traits, and I did this according to the alphabet. You may very well want to add to this, I'd like to just hand these out perhaps, and we'll go over a few of these, and let's talk about maybe you can help me how we can develop these qualities in the lives of our children. And I would challenge you to not reveal this list to your children, but I would challenge you to take your children, no matter what the age they are, and say, you know, let's do a little exercise. Let's talk about character. What are some character traits? And go through the alphabet for yourself. You notice the only one I didn't get was X. I cheated on that one. Example. It does sound right, doesn't it? My daughter has a note in her window that says something like this: the only earthly treasure that you can take with you when you leave this world to go to the next is your children. So I think that that being obvious, that it is important that we make the teaching of character to our children a priority. Now again, I don't want to de-emphasize the matter of memorizing Scripture, and I think probably you can go through all of these or pick out those that you want to develop or you want to work on with your children. And you can find Bible verses. I've supplied a few for some of these. Attentiveness. We talk about attentive to the voice of Christ, John chapter 10. Availability, 1 Samuel. Boldness, Proverbs 28:1, Ephesians 6:19. Those are examples in the Scripture and admonitions in the Scripture to develop those qualities in ourselves. And they're illustrations of those qualities. But how do we practically teach our children to be attentive? How do teachers do it?
By example,
okay. How else do teachers do it? Okay. Yeah. Are you? But just because I'm looking doesn't mean I'm paying attention, does it? So what do? We give tests, don't we? Isn't that what tests are all about? To see not how good a teacher I am, but how good a listener you are. Did you pay attention in class? You know what? That's one way. Now, how do we teach our children attentiveness? Well, how do we teach them character? Well, by testing them. As a businessman, years ago, and it was a lot of years ago, I learned a very, very valuable lesson. I learned to pay attention when I went in a room or when I had a responsibility. I remember I was in charge of I was in the transportation industry at the time, and I was in charge of coordinating the movement of certain traffic that was entrusted to us. And it was my job to see that things got to the right place and they did it in order, first in, first out sort of thing. And we had a lot of freight. We were the largest transportation company in the world and at that time, and it was kind of the UPS and the FedEx and all of that combined. And we received the freight off of trains, and then we sorted it and sent it back out in trucks and trains. And you're supposed to, if it first thing in, had to go out. And I was in charge of that at this particular one location. And my regional vice president came into the area. And we had a long terminal. And he said, let's go have a cup of coffee. So we walked down to the coffee shop, which is about a block and a half away. And I was wanting to impress him, obviously. I was a young guy out of college and wanting to go up in the world, so to speak. And we went down, and I was just talking and visiting. And we got down to the coffee shop. He says, now, let me ask you what you saw. I didn't see anything. And he began to tell me, this package was on the wrong cart. It was supposed to go so-and-so. It was on this one, and this was out of order, and that was out of order. I thought we were just visiting. And in fact, we were, but at the same time that we were visiting, he was noticing. He was being observant. That taught me a very valuable lesson that I've used the rest of my life. I rarely go into I don't care where it is. I take note of things. I know when things are out of place. I notice when things are in place. I notice when things, I notice we have a big warehouse at camp. I can pretty well tell you where everything is. People come to me and say, Pastor Hatchett, have you seen such and such? Oh yeah, I saw that last week. It's such and such and last. You know, it's not where it's supposed to be, but I can tell you where it is. That's a valuable lesson. And that's just a small example of the sort of thing that if we can teach our children little things, they can make a big difference. That little lesson has made a huge difference in my life in the last 50 years. It just, everywhere, it has benefited me through my entire business career, through my ministry. That is just a little thing. I just learned to pay attention. I think that's where we need to start with our kids. They need to learn to pay attention. They need to learn to pay attention to the Bible. They need to learn to pay attention to their teachers. They need to learn to pay attention to us. If we don't start there, we're not going to get anywhere. And I think it's important, frankly, that not only do they pay attention, but they understand there's value in what they're being taught. Again, you know, my children are older, obviously. You think your children are going to be one thing when they're young, and then as they get older, you realize, no, that's not what they're going to be. They are becoming what they were. I'm sure you see characteristics in your children now or the lack of characteristic in your children now that are going to shape their future. We need to begin, I think, to focus on the qualities that we see are missing and begin to try to say, okay, now how can I develop that quality, the missing, how can I fill the missing spot in my child? Again, as was pointed out, you know how they learn? By observance. It never works to say, do what I say, do not what I do. Doesn't work. What they observe in you or in me and us is basically going to be the qualities that they're going to develop in their life. And I'll be honest with you, and there are so many biblical examples of this, it's pathetic. They pick up our bad qualities before our good qualities. So I think it's important to us to acknowledge when we make mistakes. I don't like that. I don't even like to admit I made mistakes. But I've learned this, that if I have any concern for my children, then I've got to at least, I've got to acknowledge when I blow it. Whether we acknowledge it or not, they know it. And they're very quick to pick up on what we do wrong, aren't they? Let's just look at a few of these. And maybe you'll have some you can add. I've developed this over a period of time. Some of these came from young people. It's really interesting. Our young people know character or the lack of it. And as you go down the list, visualize your child and ask yourself, okay, let's start with A. Are they attentive, alert? Are they affectionate? How do they treat their brother or sister? What about aggressiveness? Are they passive totally? Are they alert? Do they make themselves available? And again, I think as you think of each child, I think you need to say, okay, what's missing here? How do I help my child develop that? And I would recommend that you sit down and talk to them and say, you know, I want you to be everything God wants you to be. The best way I can help you do that is by developing the qualities in your life that will allow God to use you. Someone has said, we have no success if we don't have a successor. I look again at Bible characters. I think of so many of them that really no successor came from their own family. That's very sad. That's a sad commentary. It's one thing, I mean, the truth is, you look at a man like Solomon, and you think, wow, Solomon should have produced great children. But he didn't. David should have produced great children, a man after God's own heart. But he didn't. Moses, I mean, you'd think Moses, the meekest man that ever lived, perhaps, a man of great strength and great leadership quality, but he didn't produce good kids. God couldn't use his kids. At least we don't have any evidence of it in the scriptures. That, to me, that's sad. That's as great a man as Moses was. I mean, it's sad to think that his children, we don't read of them anywhere in Scripture. So, you know, I think as parents, certainly we want to live for God ourselves. But as pastor has illustrated or has spoken over and over and over about the godly seed, that's one of the reasons we even have a marriage. It's produced another generation. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I can't imagine a generation with more challenges than this one has. This is a generation that needs great parents. If there was ever a time when parenting was important, it's right now. When you consider what this generation is facing and what they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And I think that the challenge, if we're going to teach, I really think the challenge that we're faced with as parents in this generation is not just teaching our kids. It's being the example our kids need in order that they might turn out. Because they're going to learn from us. I honestly don't think there's ever been a time when parenting was more important than it is right now. So how do you teach? You tell me, how do you teach? How do you develop character in your children? Consistency is an extremely important quality in following through. Let me give you an example. My wife had just been tremendous in this area. We had some neighbors that my kids grew up with playing, and you know, they had boys and we had boys, and I remember an incident where a couple of boys kind of had a disagreement, and you know, there was a little loud disagreement, and they had their little fight, and both mothers came out to pay attention to their children, and the kids went in, and mothers dealt with their children, and then the children went back out. My children's mother stood at the window, my wife stood at the window, and she watched to see what the response was of our son as he went back out, because he'd been given instructions. The other child's mother obviously didn't know what was going on. I mean, she gave her instructions and went about her way, because the responses of the two children were very different. And I remember watching my wife watch my son, and I remember my son looking back. And it was very obvious that he was conscious of the fact that mom was going to follow through. And had his response not been right, he'd have been right back inside. Consistency and persistence. And by the way, parenting's hard work. And you know what? Don't they usually have more patience than we do? Do your kids know how to wear you down? You bet they do. Do they know your breaking point? You bet they do. Will they test it? Absolutely. And you've just got to be more determined than they are. I tell young people, I've spoken to young people, and they'll say, well, my parents won't let me do such and such. They won't let me go to church. Or they won't let me. I go to such and such church. And I said, you know what? You know how to get what you want. If you really want to go to church and Sunday school, you know how to get what you want. When I was a youth pastor, I had a young girl in my church that had gotten saved. Her parents were Roman Catholic, and they wouldn't let her come to church. She had to go because they were Catholic. And she came to me. They let her come to youth meetings. She came to me, and she asked me, you know, what can I do? And I said, Pam, you know how to get what you want. If your parents really know that you want to come to Scunney School and Church, and you really present it to them properly, I think you know how to get your way. And she made a deal with her parents. She'd go to Catholic church on Saturday night if she could come Sunday School and Church the next day. And they accepted that for a while. You know, that went on. Every Saturday she went to Catholic church, Mass, and Sunday wasn't long. The parents didn't care whether she went Saturday or not. Now, that's a good example of a child, a young person. Incidentally, both those parents, later, both of her sisters who were unsaved got saved, and both of her parents got saved later. All three of the sisters ended up in the ministry. In fact, she's at Bob Jones University teaching now. But the point is, our children know how to get what they want, but we got to help them want the right thing. And certainly they know how to be persistent with us, do they not? We need to be just as consistent with them. You know what's the problem with most parents? They're lazy parents. The biggest problem with parenting is that parents get lazy about parenting. It's a whole lot easier not to be consistent. It's a whole lot easier to give in to their persistence than it is to be consistent and persistent. Probably the biggest problem that parents have is being lazy parents. Let me challenge you to take this list and start when they're young. Now, obviously many of you, most of you, if not all of you, and probably all of you are doing a great deal to help your children turn out. I was thinking you single moms have a double duty job. It's especially hard for the single moms. They got to be mom and they got to be dad too. I know when we homeschooled our daughter for a while, my daughter said, I don't want you to be my teacher. I want you to be my mom. And you know what? That's a hard job. I understand that. And it really takes, I think it takes a lot of grace and a lot of prayer in order to accomplish that. But you're not going to get what you don't aim at. And shoot high. Don't lower the target. Because it's important to your children that you shoot high. So I would say just to quickly kind of sum things up, number one, you got to care. Number two, you got to work at it. Number three, you got to work at it. Number four, you got to work at it. Number five, you got to work at it. Number six, you don't ever quit. And you understand your children are worth it. And they're the only thing that you can take with you. So they have got to become a priority. Don't be a lazy parent. And don't allow the wrong priorities to slip into your life. Because the most, if you don't have a successor, you have no success. That's the bottom line. If our children don't turn out, it's at least in part our fault. Now, it's not in whole our fault, because they are individually accountable. And we can do everything that we can do, and they can still not turn out right. I've seen that happen. I've seen good parents, their children, because they're individually responsible. And they need to know that. They need to know that they are going to give an account, but so are we. We're going to give an account for how we raise them. They're going to give an account to how they respond to their raising. And if we want to teach our children character, then we're going to have to, number one, make it a priority. And number two, we're going to have to correct. It's as important to find the lack of character as it is to, in other words, in determining what character you're going to build in your children, probably it's as important to go down this list and say, well, what's missing? And then begin to fill in the gaps. And remember, you won't get what you don't aim at. And remember, your children have got to cooperate with the process. You get that by getting their heart young and sticking with them. You just keep on and on and on and on and on and on. Till you're so tired of doing it, you know they're tired of it. But likely you'll get tired before they will. But it's amazing. It really is amazing. And it's encouraging. And I've had this happen, and probably some of you have too. You ever listen to your children? Just sometimes listen to them talking to each other. You'll learn a great deal about your parenting. Because my kids used to say, now you didn't do that right. Mom said such and such. And guess what? They're picking up on your parenting, aren't they? That's a good thing. It's a whole lot better if they learn it for themselves instead of teaching it to their siblings.